So as we open this lesson up, we're just going to look at 2 Corinthians 5, 7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. And we've been sharing that this word walk is the Greek word peripateo, and it just means to live or to regulate your life and to conduct your life and to make your way or progress. Well, how are we supposed to do that? Here's the instruction right here. We're to walk or live our lives, which is what the Passion Translation says. It's in the 2 Corinthians 5, 7. It says, for we live by faith. So we walk by faith, we live by faith, is what that Greek word means, not by what we see with our eyes. So we're to live by faith and not by what we see. We're not to walk by our senses, our natural senses. Doesn't mean that we don't pay attention to those things, but we don't live and regulate our lives by it. Because he that is born again, it says, he that is of God overcometh the world, and this is what? The victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. But just looking at what we were looking at Sunday in John 8:12, the Gospel of John, and chapter 8 and verse 12, it says, then Jesus again spake unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me, so you got to seek him, following him. That just means if you're a follower, that means you're a disciple. You're a follower of Christ. It says here, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. What is in us? How God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but shall have everlasting life. So this life that we receive brought light into us, brought a knowing or a relationship with him. So here, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. Again, this word walk is just what we were seeing in 2 Corinthians 5, 7. It means that we are not going to regulate our lives or live our lives in darkness. It doesn't mean that you're not going to miss it. And we'll look at that in a few moments. But when you live your life in the light, you may miss it as you're growing in this faith walk, but you're not regulating your life. You're not conducting your life in darkness, in iniquity. You're not living your life, another way you could say is you're not practicing darkness. You're not practicing living in the dark. Or in darkness. Why? Because if you have the light of life in you, when you miss it, you'll be uncomfortable. We all are. When we miss something, we're just not comfortable inside. Like, I shouldn't have done that. Shouldn't have said that. Shouldn't have acted that way. And what does that mean? You're not walking. You missed it, but you're not walking in darkness. You just missed it. And so the mere fact that you're uncomfortable means that the light of life, the light of God is revealing to you something that you did that's not pleasing to him. And what do? We fix it. We ask God, I'm sorry, forgive me, cleanse me with the blood of Jesus. Now, the Passion Translation, I like this in John 8:12. It says, then Jesus said, I am the light to the world, and those who do what? Embrace me will experience life-giving light, and they will never walk in darkness. That's powerful. It doesn't mean that you will never miss it. It means you will never practice darkness. if what? You embrace him. You embrace the light. You embrace the word. So if we walk in the light, we will not or never walk in darkness. We will not stumble or not know what to do, what's right from wrong. We'll know. We'll not practice. It's not possible unless you let darkness back in. There's no way, because you see now. You see what's right and what's wrong. You can see it. And God's Spirit is revealing to you the light. So if we walk in the light, then we're walking in the Spirit. We're walking in the Spirit. If we walk in the light, we will walk in love, as we were sharing on Sunday. If we walk in the light, we'll walk in love and we will forgive. It may be difficult at first, but I can guarantee you it's just like anything that you do in life. You know, starting a new habit or changing habits that we have are not sometimes easy to make adjustments. The flesh wants to fight. The flesh has sin in it, and it rebels. It rebels against the light. It doesn't want to do that. I don't want to do that. You know, if you are making adjustments, let's say in your exercise or your eating habits, your body's going to fight. I don't want to do this. But the more you make it do it, then it becomes easier. And it's the same with spiritual things, that as you embrace the light and as you determine that I'm going to walk in the light, your body and your soul may fuss and fight initially, but the more you make a choice to do that, it becomes easier. It becomes, as we say, it becomes a habit. And it becomes a spiritual habit. And 2 Corinthians 4:3, it says, but if the gospel is hid, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to who? Them that are lost. You know, this word, if you're lost, that word lost means, you know, that means somebody who's eternally damned or doesn't know Jesus. So if it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has done what? Blinded the minds of them which do what? Believe not. Lest what? The light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So when we embrace the word, when we become a follower of Christ, we're letting the light of the glorious gospel shine in into our hearts, and the word of God is revealed to us in greater measure. And as we were sharing the Passion Translation on Sunday, Romans 12:2, I like this translation of this verse. It says, stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you. Now, think about this. Things haven't changed, have they? So here, Paul is writing to the Romans, and he says, stop imitating the ideals and the opinions of the culture around you. That hasn't changed. We're still in the same situation. We're not to imitate the ideals and the opinions of the culture around you. Why? Because the God of this world has still control and is blinding the minds and hearts of people who don't know the Lord. And so we're not to imitate that. We're to do what? It says, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through what? A total transformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in His eyes. So as you are transformed inwardly, this transformation will empower you to discern or to know God's will. What is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, which is what the King James says. So this transformation is necessary. Otherwise, even though your spirit has been made brand new, your soul will have a hard time sometimes getting in sync with your heart unless you get this mind, this soul renewed. So let's take a look. I want to look at 1 John 1 and 5 and expand upon this and look at this a little more this evening. Nothing new, but more light, more revelation to meditate on. 1 John 1 and 5, 6 and 7 in the King James, and then we'll look at the Passion Translation. It said, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and do what? Declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all." And then verse 6, "If we say that we have fellowship with him and do what? Walk in darkness." See, what did we just get done saying before? We don't want to walk in darkness. And that says, you know, we don't want to, as John 8 says, "He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness." Well, this says here, if we fellowship, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. This says, this is not saying, and you miss it. This says here, you're conducting your life. You're basically saying you're acting like you're not saved. You're acting like an unrenewed, unregenerate sinner. You're walking, you're conducting your life, you're living your life like a sinner. And this says here, if you do, you say you have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Verse 7, "But if we walk in the light," see, he's contrasting walking in darkness and walking in light. He said, "But if we walk in the light," how? "As he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin." Hallelujah. And then the Passion Translation of this verse, it says, "This is the life-giving message we heard. We heard him share, and it's still ringing in our ears. We now repeat his words to you. God is pure light. You will never find," this is the part that excited me, "you will never find even a trace of darkness in him." Verse 6 and 7, "If we claim that we share life with him, but keep walking in the realm of darkness, we're fooling ourselves and not living the truth." Verse 7, "But if we keep living," see, keep living in the pure light that surrounds him, "we share unbroken fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, continually cleanses us from all sin." So here, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, this says here that if we keep living in this pure light, his pure light that surrounds him, we share what? Unbroken fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, continually cleanses us from all sin. That means there's no evidence of darkness in us, none. If we walk in the light, then we walk in love. You know, I'm thinking about, there was a story, I'll just digress for a moment. This scripture got me to thinking just now of this story called The Shining Ones. And it was about a African tribe in Rwanda back in the 30s, and they said that their skin began to shine, and they said, it was unusual because a person of color in Africa has more of a bluish hue to their skin. It's just much darker. And they said their skin began to shine with the light of the glory of God. It began to shine. And they said this didn't happen overnight, but they said the reason it did, the light began to shine and emanate from them. And it was as Jesus was transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration, he began to shine with the glory of God. There was a transfiguration or a transformation, which is what it says in Romans 12:2, that be ye transformed by the word of God. So they began to shine, this tribe in Africa, and they said one of the main reasons why this began to happen is that they began to walk in the love of God towards one another. And they said if they missed it, they would ask for forgiveness. So there was never a time, they said they wouldn't even finish the day without asking for forgiveness of one another. So what were they doing? They were walking in love, and this light, the light of life, began to shine through them and through their physical body, their skin. And so I just share that because here, if we keep living in the pure light that surrounds him, we share what? Unbroken fellowship, what? With one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, continually cleanses us from all sin. So I remember the person that wrote this, he said he was looking for, he said, look, Jesus walked as a sinless man. There was no sin in him. But he set aside his glory, his divine privileges, as some translations say in Philippians. But he operated as a man here in this earth, and he came as a sinless man, but he was transfigured. And this person who wrote this said, I was looking for, in the natural, is transfiguration possible? And we have an account where this tribe literally began to transfigure. Their skin began to glow. Why? Because they were walking in the light of the glory of God. They were walking in the light. Glory to God. Hallelujah. In John 13, when we talk about walking in the light and walking in love, John 13, 34 and 35, it says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you do what? Love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Well, this is almost what he was saying. We're to walk in the light as he is in the light. Well, we're to walk, and this says here, we're to love one another how? As he has loved us. And then it goes on in verse 35, it says, by this love towards one another, shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. Now, in thinking about walking in the light, it got me to thinking about some other scriptures that I wanted to share this evening about abiding in the vine. Walking in the light, abiding in the vine. And if we look at John 15, the Gospel of John in verse 15, verses 1 through 5, it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me, well, you're in the vine, you're in the light. Every branch in me that what? Beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he does what? He purgeth it that it may do what? Bring forth more fruit. So this is saying here, if you walk in the light, well, it doesn't mean you're not going to miss it. This says here, every branch that does what? Bears fruit. So if you walk in the light, you're going to bear fruit, but he's going to do what? Purge it that it may do what? Bring forth more fruit. Now, what else does verse 3 say? It says, now ye are clean Through what? The word, the light of the glorious gospel, you're clean, which I have spoken unto you. This word clean means free from every, I like what some definitions are. This word clean means free from every admixture of what is false. An admixture just means something's mixed in with it. So we are free from every admixture. There's no trace of darkness in him. So we're clean, we're free from corrupt desires. And how does that happen? Through the word. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it does what? Abides in the vine. Hallelujah. No more can ye except ye abide in me. So you cannot walk in the light unless you stay connected to the vine. Hallelujah. You cannot bear fruit. You cannot bear the fruit or the byproduct of walking in the light unless you stay connected to the vine. It is the life. It is the light. And then verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that does what? Abides in me, abides in the light. We said God is light. So he that abideth in the light and the light in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, without the light, you can do nothing. In other words, you could say you're powerless. You don't have the power, the ability to do and bring forth the fruit. You can't walk in the love of God without his ability, without the light. Now, another scripture that got me to thinking about this is Psalm 91, and we'll just look at the first few verses. But here, just even looking at some of the verses, walking in the light, walking in his truth, says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall do what? Cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust, and his what? His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. So the truth, the light of God's word, is my shield and buckler. And of course, we're not going to read everything else. You can take the time to read that. But by abiding in him, you're protected by him. We're walking in the light. We're walking in the light. I wanted to look at Ephesians 4, verse 11, and we'll go back to Ephesians 5, but we'll go in that order. Ephesians 4, starting in verse 11 through 17. But when we look at and we know that there are certain offices in the body of Christ, there's the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. But the scripture says, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for what? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Then it goes on, till we all come in the unity of the faith, and then goes on, and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect or mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So in order to walk, this is why we say the offices in the church, the apostle and prophet and evangelist, pastor and teacher, are so important, that they are there to do what? Bring us into unity. into what? The knowledge of God or the light of God's word, so that what? We can walk in unity with one another. We can walk in love towards one another. And then what does it go on to say in verse 14? It says that we do what? That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with what? Every wind of doctrine. And then what else does it go on to say? It says, by the sleight of man and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in what? In love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding what? Darkened, being alienated from the life of God, being alienated from the light. When we walk in darkness, we're alienated from the life of God. And this says here, through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. So we see the importance of the word of God, though, that the offices in the church sharing the word of God, us coming and receiving the word, walking in the light, and so that what? We won't be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine and sleight and cunning craftiness of men. And then it goes on to where to do what? To operate in the love of God. We don't want our understanding darkened, but we want to walk in the light, the glorious light of God. Now, Ephesians in chapter 5 and verse 8, it says, for ye were sometimes darkness. This is what we don't want to walk in darkness, but this says, ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light, where? In the Lord. And it goes on and admonishes, says, walk as children of the light. What is that? That word walk is the same Greek word peripateo. It means to live, conduct your life as a child of the light. Now, verse 9 and 10, it says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. So as we walk in the light and the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, goodness, gentleness, and all of the fruit of the recreated human spirit will do what? Prove what is acceptable unto the Lord. And then it goes on and it says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather do what? Reprove them. For it is a shame to even speak of those things which are done of them in secret, but all things that are reproved are made manifest, how? By the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is the light. So we're to walk in the light. We're to conduct ourselves as children of the light. And I just want to look at verse 8, Ephesians 5, 8 in the Passion Translation. And it says, once your life was full of sin's darkness. That's true. We were full of sin's darkness. But now you have the very light of our Lord shining through you because of your union with him. Your mission is to live as children flooded with this revelation light. So I like this. That's our mission. Our mission is to go out and be, as Jesus wrote in Luke, we're to be a candle that's not like a candle with a bushel set all over the top of it and hides it. We're to be visible. We're to be seen. We're to be visible in our walk and the way we conduct ourselves. And so the light of God should shine forth in us. May not make us popular in this society, but we're not to embrace the ideals and opinions of this current culture. So we're to do what? Walk as children of the light. So I would just share with you as we, you know, as we kind of conclude this, that God is looking for a people that will please him and walk in the light. And that means walking in the light in all areas of our life. That means not only just walking in love, but walking in faith. That means walking in how we, what we listen to, you know, anything that embraces. That's why, you know, I've said it's important what you set your eyes on and watch, what you read, what you watch, you know, on all the various mediums that bombard us today, television and all these devices that we have. You know, there's all kinds of information that comes. We need to be aware and be selective as far as what we watch. If it's something that kind of rubs you the wrong way or it bothers you, you need not watch it. You need to just make a decision. I'm not going to let that enter my eyes and listen to it. Same thing with music. We will watch what we listen to. Watch what kind of things that we read. Because ultimately, if we want to walk in the light as he is in the light, then we're going to have to embrace and let his truth into us. And what will that do? It will allow us to see and to discern what is his will, what is his perfect will, so that we can be a light to this earth. You know, God is wanting to, as the scripture says, it's he that needs to be exalted and we need to be diminished. We need not be seen. Well, how is that possible? The light of God's glory will shine through us and it'll be seen. I guarantee you, you know, his goodness will be seen in us. So just as we kind of wrap up, you know, we've been talking about no evidence and kind of wrapping this theme up. But if we continue to walk in the light, if we make a decision that I'm going to walk in the light as he is in the light, then it says here, there's not even a trace of darkness in us. Why? Because if we do that, we will have unbroken fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus will continually cleanse us of all sin. So it's my heart's desire. And the other thing also is that if we walk in the light, then even the things that the scripture talks about, to go into all the world, preach the gospel, make disciples of all men, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, cast out devils. If you drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm you. So God's protection, his light, will bear fruit in our lives. So again, I trust that this is something that we'll pursue, and the more we meditate on it, the more we will see those areas where we need to make adjustments. This is what the scripture says. And when we stay connected to the vine, when we're abiding in the vine, then what does it say? He said, the branch that bears fruit, he'll do what? He will begin to prune and purge it, that it does what? It brings forth more fruit. He wants us to make these corrections, which is what purging is, pinching, I guess you could call it. But if we make these adjustments, it's for the purpose of doing what? Bringing forth more fruit. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Father, we thank you for your word, for the light of your word shining in unto our hearts and revealing to us just who you are and where you live and how important it is to walk in the light. So as we walk in the light, you said that we'll have unbroken fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus will continually cleanse us of all sin. So Father, we thank you, and those things that we're being shown or being revealed to us where we need to make corrections, we make those corrections now. We make that adjustment, and we determine that we are walking in the light as you are in the light. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. And if you're here watching and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, and he's not abiding in you, how do you get to the place of he abiding in you? Well, the scripture says that this inward man becomes a new man in Christ, a new person in Christ. And it just means that in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 and 10, it says, if you'll do what? Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and you'll believe in your heart, thine heart, that God has raised him from the dead, it says you'll be saved. With the heart, man does what? Believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So if you're there watching this evening, and you've never done that, you don't ever remember doing that, you don't remember believing that he's the Christ and that God raised him from the dead, then do that. And those that are watching, if you need to make a correction, you need to make an adjustment in your life, you've gotten away from the Lord Jesus, and maybe you're following after or walking after darkness, and you need to ask for forgiveness. God is there to instantly forgive you, and no condemnation. And so he said, no condemnation to those who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So we're going to say a simple prayer, and if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and you confess that he's been raised from the dead, you'll be saved. Instantly saved, no darkness, no trace of darkness in you. So, Father, we thank you this evening, and we believe with our hearts that Jesus is the Christ. And we say with our mouths and confess and say with our mouths that you raised Jesus from the dead with our sin. And we thank you, and now I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart. I ask you to cleanse me of unrighteousness with the blood of Jesus. And I believe now, by the believing in my heart and the confession of my mouth, that I am saved. Now, if you said that simple prayer, just a simple prayer, that you believed in your heart and confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and that he was raised from the dead, and you asked him into your heart, he instantly cleansed you, instantly redeemed you, and your names, the minute you leave your body, you'll be with in the presence of the Lord. So if you did that, just let us know. Either email us to the information there, or mail us, or call us, and let us know that you've accepted Jesus as your Savior. Hallelujah. And we'll send you some information as to who you've become in Christ. Glory to God.